Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be reviewing the news, including the big revelations that the White House is engaging directly in censoring American citizens against the First Amendment, but they don't care. They do the damage that they can and then they say, oh, okay, we didn't know, sorry. And no one ever gets sued for this. That's too bad. As much as we respect free speech, in principle, we don't attribute big awards in cases of free speech being violated. We just act like these impediments on our rights are, oh, well, they were errors. They were people trying to do good. Right here, we have an email from a governmental official, Clark Humphrey. I don't know exactly which wing of the government that is, but it's .gov, but it's who.eop.gov. What is this exactly? Is the who part of the American government? How does that work? But in any case, he writes to Instagram. He says, hi there. Anyway, we can get this pulled down. It is not actually one of ours. United Democrat States of Fascism. Oh my fucking God, the Biden administration literally asked Meta if they... Oh, okay, that wasn't Instagram. Oh, yeah, that was Instagram, but they wrote to Meta, of course, because Meta owns Instagram, if they would take down a Fauci parody account on Instagram. The sense of the First Amendment was that never could the American government stop a parody about itself, including if it's about health issues. We can and we should be able to parody health-related stuff and the Fauci stuff. And that's there's been some good parody of it. There's been some good laughs in the COVID pandemic. But now they don't care. They will coordinate and conspire with social media to shut down the voices that question these medical dictates. Ty Rogerson says, leftist. I'm so glad that you got your nickname back, Ty Rogerson. It feels so much better to say than whatever it is that you had before. And we know you've been there for a long time, so it's good to see people who have been on the show for so long. Ty Rogerson says, leftist operate under the principle of breaking the rules in order to save them. Exceptions for me, but not for thee. Oh yeah, they don't care because they know that they will make some gains. Like when you get a thinker censored from the internet and then you step back and then a judge finds, oh my God, the government here has acted improperly. It doesn't change that the guy has been losing attention on the internet for years. So even when you lose, you win. When you're a leftist, even when you break principles, you win. That's why they do what they do, which is a violent form of imperialistic fascism. Lendalt Guntram says, yeah, there are simply too many exceptions in their fundamental philosophical system. Practically, it is not possible to compete against them legitimately. Therefore... yes, you're right. It's built in into the leftist mentality of we need to avoid harm and we need to create the well-being for everyone. This lends itself to so many quantifications, so many devilish details, so many, the arm in this case was very big. Oh, the arm in this case is not so big that they can say anything. And so... I'd rather be an honest moral nihilist than a dishonest, harm-based leftist, you know, trying to improve the world. Twitter, Facebook regularly coordinated with Biden admin to censor users. Newly released internal emails from Facebook and Twitter show an extensive effort to coordinate with the Biden administration to censor users. According to a Thursday release of information by GOP attorneys General Eric Schmidt of Missouri and Jeff Landry of Louisiana. thankfully, we have these Republican states going after, at this point, it's small Republican states of no importance that are saving the First Amendment in America. Because if it was just of California and New York and Washington, D.C., they have no problem coordinating against the American people. Throughout the emails, officials within the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services emailed Facebook and Twitter employees with instructions on flagging instances of alleged misinformation and guided them with talking points to counter allegedly false narratives on the platforms. In one instance, a CDC official asked Facebook for monthly meetings to plan debunking strategies, while in another case, a White House official requested the removal of an Anthony Fauci account. They were meeting on a monthly basis, and that's why there was such a pressure on creators. That's why we couldn't talk about certain things. They really wanted no one to hear that the vaccine could be dangerous or that COVID could be just accepted as a part of reality and as a just a cyclical type of virus, coronavirus coming back every couple of years into humanity and giving a couple of coups around the planet. I see that Barnabé Buteau has made a name test. I see your name as Barnabé Buteau. Your name test was successful. Breaking again, that the same story, bombshell documents show Biden admin colluding with social media companies to censor free speech. This all stems from the attorney general of these two states. Starting a case against perhaps the federal government and the high-ranking people in Facebook and Twitter for violating First Amendment rights. Missouri and Louisiana filed a landmark lawsuit back in May that seeks to expose how top Biden administration officials allegedly colluded with social media to censor freedom of speech on a number of topics, including COVID-19. We won in court in July, and the court required the Biden administration to turn over communications between federal officials and social media companies. We have already received a number of documents that clearly prove that the federal government has an incestuous relationship with social media companies and clearly coordinate to censor freedom of speech, but we're not done. The DOJ is cowering behind executive privilege and has refused to turn over communications between the highest-ranking Biden administration officials and social media companies. That's why yesterday we asked the court to compel the Department of Justice to produce those records. We're just starting. Stay tuned. This is exciting because finally we can get a hit at the heart of this a terrible relationship between government and private companies, the privatization of censorship, that is one of the most disgusting things we've seen in America in the last few decades, and it has to stop. So a case like this could make it stop, but something tells me we won't get FBI communicating with Twitter because they're going to argue it's some kind of intelligence secrecy type of thing. And we're not going to get perhaps even DOJ, who are arguing that there's executive privilege. You don't have the executive privilege of suggesting people to ban. You don't have this. And the fact that these companies can even make a business out of listening to tips about who to ban, that is a problem. It is a monopoly in right in front of us, right in front of our eyes. It is a practice that is anti-competitive, and it's a cartel practice. It must be sued into the ground until it doesn't exist. Eight times this conservative think tank was ahead of media. Well, what about me? How many times was I ahead of media in the COVID-19 coverage? Health officials on key COVID-19 facts. Science can flourish only in an atmosphere of free speech. the conservative think tank founder said, citing Albert Einstein. A conservative think tank that extensively researched the spread of the coronavirus preempted media reporting and public health officials on the virus danger to the public almost a dozen times. Oh, well, that's all you beat them on. So they beat them on the virus is dangerous. Well, I beat them not on the virus is dangerous. Well, to a certain extent, I talked about COVID before most people, before most media, but also I've been beating them on the recent studies a year ago that were showing doubtful masks effects, doubtful vaccine effectiveness, and in fact sometimes negative vaccine effectiveness. Pet Boy says, please stop following the frame and calling forms of Bolshevism fascism. I know that there's a bunch of people who take issue with this, but to me, Bolshevism and fascism are not distinguishable enough to be worth the distinction. To me, it is an authoritarian takeover of state powers in coordination with private powers to control the means of production and control anything, basically thought included. To me, that is the family of governmental systems I call fascism. I could call it Bolshevism also, because Bolshevism was a form of fascism in my view. But the rest, beside this, beside the fact that these things are all the same thing in my view, the question of labeling them one or the other becomes just a competition of labeling and of attaching dirty labels to certain political movements. I don't care that much about this. Pineapple Platypotamus says, they're anti-truth. That's enough for my understanding, so truth is the best weapon against them. It is, but at the same time, they have hit truth very hard. They have made it very hard for people to expose truth because they've censored on the mainstream platform and they've isolated on parallel platforms. So we find ourselves with a problem here. It is very hard to reach normies and explain to them the truth. Padam was launching a message to me on the Discord in the Revolutionary Phenotype section. He said, Jeff, I want to talk about sperm again. Padam keeps talking about sperm. He says, I thought of a really straightforward way that humans could be evolving to print by selection using sperm. So print by selection, that's a series of ideas we have discussed, me and Fadam, from the very beginning of the book, because actually his idea about printing by selection is already present in the book. But we've been recently also working on different hypotheses. Basically, printing by selection, the idea is my book makes the difference in replication between printing and selection. So printing is if you can decide letter by letter what is a segment of DNA containing, and selection is you either kill the segment or you let it live. You select whether it exists, but you can't really control the content. And so Fadam has an idea for printing by selection. He says, what if cold survival genes have a dual impact on sperm motility at lower temperature? And isn't there an obvious evolutionary interest in getting them to be linked, considering the following? In this case, you can scatter your genes by messing them up with meiosis and crossover events, then throw them into the frozen lady pussy of Alaska, and the ones that have better motility will tend to be the ones carrying cold survival genes. Okay, so he's hypothesizing a situation in which cold hits certain sperm with certain chromosomes, but not others. You can find better genes much faster this way by filtering your genetically varied sperms, i.e. by printing by selection, making the cold pussy and sperm motility genes part of the repliques. The repliques may be much bigger and more situational than initially expected. And to any of these considerations, I say, yes, the printer can be big. The printer could include, if you go into a cold country and your sperm is affected by the cold in a specific way that targets certain genes in your sperm, you could in that way print. But you would print for a certain amount of time and you would be limited in your resolution. You would be limited to this resolution can hit only whole chromosome because you would either kill a sperm or don't kill a sperm. And that gives you a resolution of 23 onto the human genome. It's not much. It's not a resolution that's comparable to what happens in a phenotypic revolution. And I also said to Faram, I don't think such a system would last long. Eventually, the cold surviving gene would have spread to all chromosomes due to its own interest, and then fairness would be there again. It would also be in the interest of the sexual life form, since it would be a sexually reproducing fair species again, rather than being a clone your 22nd chromosome every time species. We are always back to, sure, you can print artificially here and there, but being a sexual species and trusting Darwinian random outcompetes any such strategies until you develop a revolutionary phenotype. So these ideas with Faram, they always boil down to the same, which I've already addressed in my book. Those ideas are very low resolution and they couldn't survive for long. Because eventually the genes that don't pass through the system would develop methods to integrate the cold survival tactic. The cold survival tactic that he proposes for sperm cells is nothing else than an environmental pressure that pushes for the cold survival gene to be everywhere on every chromosome so that at this point you don't have the effect anymore and people can reproduce in cold environments. So nice thinking and theory, but I don't think it challenges anything that I've already said. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, all of these people talking about sperm and replication theoretics and nobody actually using it to replicate, you should only be allowed to waste Jeff's time and cycles if you've actually put your theories into practice. All right, yes, so Faram, I order you to go inseminate at least 5 women in Alaska before your next revolutionary phenotype question. That makes sense. Thomas Howard says, everything we've been told all of our lives appears to have been a lie. Could fascism be any different? As far as I can tell, its only feature I can be sure of is its resistance to communism. I believe a show digging into what is true about this political structure might be JF's best in a while. I could do it. I don't know much about fascism. I would have to read considerably before I tell you the story of Germany. But it doesn't seem to me that it's fundamentally different than what happens in a communist country. In the case of Germany, of course, the state takeover of the private sector was justified by the war, basically. But whether it's justified by the war or not doesn't change my view on authoritarian systems. They don't work. They end up self-immolating with their own incompetence. Ty Rogerson sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I'm also glad to have my name back. Hey, Mike from Imperium Press would be a strong guest to have on. His last article succinctly describes how the self-flagellation of the left is adaptive, not by strengthening them, but by weakening all others Could be a good conversation. All right. Yeah, I could write to him. Next step in terms of interactions on the internet will be Sunday. I will be on Modern Day Debate. It's cringe, but it's Nadir again. Nadir, who had made the argument that the Quran was miraculous because it had so much insight. I totally destroyed every single one of his argument. Somehow he wants more. I think Nadir may be a sadomasochist. Secretly, he wants more beating by Papa JF, and so we're going to be on Sunday on Modern Day Debate. He has basically similar arguments but different ones, but in the same line. He thinks he has found other miracles in the Quran, which I've already started looking into, and I'm like, no, that doesn't look like a miracle. Fanatical Socialist sends a super chat. He says, in the moment of interaction, horrible mimetics feel worse to be around than horrible genetics. That's a fine little shower thought. A shower thought. That's all I will say about it. That would be a nice post on shower thoughts. It is kind of disguised. I don't think it would survive on Reddit very long, but it is a fine shower thought, my friend. Thank you for your super chat. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats and the right way to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use the Entropy link in the description below. Webb Telescope captures its first direct image of an exoplanet. I don't know. It's supposedly we would be seeing a planet here. I don't. So that's the planet. That's the star. I don't know. It looks like you've added a star. Why don't you give us the raw info? Like, it looks like you've added a star with Photoshop. So are you telling us this is the planet? This is the planet, yes. In various irradiation patterns, various spectrometer levels. And then we enter the whole question. We had pictures of exoplanet. We had the shadows of exoplanet as it passes in front of their stars. So we enter the philosophical question of what is an image even? What is a direct photo even? Aren't we always taking the shadow of something like in a way? Head of Russian oil giant Lukoil dies after falling from hospital window, reports state media. It is too bad he was opposed to the Putin regime and its war. I mean, he's not opposed to the regime as a whole, but he had been criticizing the Ukraine war, and he appears to have been falling from a hospital window. Of course, it's easy to think that some wrongdoing has been happening here, that it's kind of a murder made to look like a suicide, but it's also possible that he just chose death, or perhaps he was divagating and just fell out of the window. In any case, he was the head of the Russian oil giant Lukoil, which produces about 2 to 3% of the fuel in the world. So, too bad. He's going to be replaced, I guess. DK Shadow says shadows are images too. Yeah, exactly. You can think about these things and you can get trapped in a loop in your head, like, images are shadows, or shadows are images. Oh my God, I've been lied to my whole life. Even when I see stuff, it's kind of, oh, okay. I see this table as white. Well, why is it white? Well, it's white because, well, let's take a color actually. Let's take a bottle that is blue. I see the bottle as blue. Why is it that I see as blue? It's because the other wavelengths are absorbed by the bottle, and the bottle only really reflects around the blue wavelength. So in a way, I'm looking at a shadow when I look at a blue bottle, because I'm looking at a bunch of photons that have been absorbed by the bottle, and I'm looking at what's left after the absorption. And that's exactly what a shadow is. It's a bunch of photons that get absorbed by a surface, and then whatever photon we're able to pass creates the shadow, creates the contrast between the illuminated part and the non-illuminated part. And in fact, there was what's this guy's name? The guy who wrote Gödel, Escher, and Bach. Hofstadter. Hofstadter had been thinking about the philosophy of shadow for way too long, and he ended up being a Christmas tree, and there was snow falling onto the Christmas tree, and then on the ground there was an absence of snow at the feet of the Christmas tree, but then there was snow around where the Christmas tree wasn't there to block the snow. And he ended up concluding, this is a shadow too. So when you have less snow on the floor because a tree has been taking some of it, it is the same thing, the same phenomenon as a shadow, just done with snow rather than done with light. Which goes to show you can, if you have a high IQ, you can think about shadows basically until you're dead. And you won't have resolved everything about it. Biden's most enduring legacy, a central bank digital currency coming fast, and you need to be prepared for them because they will mark a major victory in the war against cash and against your personal privacy. Digital, but not crypto. Cryptocurrencies are different in some important respects. Number one, cryptocurrencies operate on a blockchain or a digital ledger. It's a way of keeping track of every transaction involving a particular cryptocurrency. A central bank digital currency does not have to be on a blockchain. It could be, but it probably won't be. So it is digital, it is encrypted, but it's not a blockchain and it's not a cryptocurrency. Definitely, and they might have something that they call a blockchain, but it will basically be their database, and it will have no feature that the blockchain has, such as collectivism, in that it's participated to by different players, anyone who wants, really. And then it won't have the sharing and the verification algorithm. They will be very different. And so, yes, it's a very sad world we're headed to, but I guess if cash disappears, something like cash will emerge again, I'm pretty sure. And we should totally develop private currencies, because this system will obviously be used to combat dissent and to keep people from doing things that the state doesn't like. Dino Legovic sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, JF, if someone calls me a racist, can I call them a speciesist? Who is being specious? Asking a trained biologist. Well, you are a speciesist if you are treating certain species with a prejudice that is not justified by observing the individual that you're treating as such. So, for example, you see a wolverine coming toward you. The safest thing to do would be to flee. Assume that the wolverine running toward you is there to scratch you with his claws and bite you. and assuming the danger of the Wolverine, you flee. But see, you've committed a mistake here. You have treated the Wolverine with prejudice. Imagine a tiger comes to you, does the same thing. When you assume that the tiger is about to kill you, you are committing an act of speciesism. And so the solution is you need to treat all tigers and wolverines independently, and you need to judge them on the content of their character. So you wait for the tiger to kill you, and then you can judge that individual tiger and say, look, this tiger is violent. But if you extrapolate this and say all tigers are violent, that's where you commit the crime of speciesism. Now, it's very easy to be a speciesist, but that's because of the patriarchal speciesist culture in which we live. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says CBDCs are being trialed in Australia. In fact, recently a bank called Suncorp sent out an email asking their customers if they would be willing to receive an RFID implant, then retracted and deleted their position after the public retaliated. You can read about CBDC on BIS.org since 2014. Yeah, I've heard about it. It's coming, and it's too bad. But I hope that we will develop systems that are resistant to that kind of thing. I'm afraid there's a whole part of the economy, maybe 95%, 97%, 99%, that will be drawn to this official side controlled by the state. And then we might have opportunities to have private currencies. I would love to see private currencies come back. In a way, they've come back with cryptocurrencies, but I would love to see more development. The COVID-19 bivalent vaccine boosters are in. Who's gonna want his share of bivalent vaccine boosters? It's being promoted on CNN, and here we have the FDA website talking about them. They are now available, I believe, for individuals 12 years of age and older. Appointment for individuals 12 years of age and older for previously authorized monovalent Pfizer or Moderna boosters need to be rescheduled for when locations have the bivalent COVID-19 vaccines available. So what is the bivalent? It's the same amount of mRNA, but they've put half of the mRNA in the vaccine as the old one, and half of the mRNA in the vaccine is the one made with the spike from Omicron. So they hope that this will allow you to develop immunity against Omicron. These vaccines are becoming pyramids of stuff stacked against one another. I don't know where this will be headed. Certainly, the studies to ensure the safety will never be done profoundly over long periods of time. They will never be properly done also because we have evidence that there's pressure onto the contractors that run these studies for the big companies, and they are incentivized at finding the vaccine safe, and they have been caught hiding some cases of vaccine injuries in South America, for example. So we will have less and less information as the vaccine gets added, this and that and this and that. There's no way we're going to be able to know, is this new bivalent booster dangerous over 20 years? Who knows? But it's been approved, and it is now what they will inject to people. The system is busy cannibalizing itself. As the word suggests, cannibalism won't end well for those consumed by the infinitely insatiable few. Cannibalize is an interesting word. It is remarkably graphic way to describe the self-inflicted destruction of a system by stripping previously functional subsystems to sustain the illusion of system functionality. It's an interesting take on what's happening to America. It's getting stripped slowly. The attacks on the system, sometimes they come on gun rights, sometimes on free speech, sometimes on medical freedom. And it's like, America will die from 1,000 knife hits to its principles. That's what will happen. Meanwhile, if you want a sign that society is going down, look at what we were able to generate culturally with the new Lord of the Ring TV show. One rule of art, visual art, is if you're gonna make a copy of something that's already been done, don't make it worse. It has to be better. But they have they now have released the trailer for Lord of the Ring. This is what $750 million buys you. And of course, Twitter video will not load it. Of course. They never load. One white woman, one black man, one dwarf, one poor woman, one cute knight type white man, a black woman, a white woman, perfect equilibrium. It's like, it's what our whole society has become. Let's redo it with black people. And it sucks. It sucks for the young people of today, young white people, who are stuck in a society that is obsessed with just making things that were already done, but with black people. Let's go to the moon with black people. Let's do Lord of the Ring with black people. Let's do universities with black people. Let's do medical studies with black people. The only realization of the current generation and what follows will be, we've done it with black people. I don't have anything against black people, but it's not a realization. It's a very boring generational project to be redoing everything with black people. Grapes Coda says, let's close down the water plants. I mean, we've seen it. I think it's in reference to a news yesterday where they were, on the one hand, in certain articles, they're celebrating the disappearance of white people. And on the other hand, it's like, oh my God, there's no more white people in our town. We have sewer problems now. It's like, yeah, I guess white people used to run your sewers, but now they're not there anymore. A pro-Ukrainian guy cannot even feel the whole CNN propaganda against the Kherson counteroffensive. He's like, I'm not convinced at all that it's happening. Terrible videos from Kherson won't share much, but it looks like the counteroffensive was a failure. And the head of the Kiev mediatic propaganda says, what exactly is terrible about these pictures? Care to explain, since you've drawn such a conclusion? He says, seriously? Fine. Ukrainian soldiers firing in panic over their heads, totally unplanned. One RPG gunner almost hitting comrades behind him. Ukrainian soldiers being eaten by rats after their Polish T-72 exploded. Ukrainian soldiers being treated on makeshift holes, terrible. Okay, that makes it clear, because I was like, where are the images of this counteroffensive? We should see Russian planes blowing up. We should see just artillery falling onto Russian positions. I was like, we've always had video from this war. did cell phones become unavailable or what? But no, it seems that basically Ukraine is filming little operations, and it's not even looking good in terms of what they do in these videos, and that's all they have. Fanatical Socialist sends a super chat. He says, let's do Africa, but with white people. What kind of super Africa 2.0 can we make? Interesting project. I think it was attempted already. I think it didn't turn well in South Africa. But it's still going on. The project has not been fully abandoned. It's still going on somehow. But the problem when you do this is, that's the problem, the double standard here. If white people were to say that, they would be considered colonizers in Africa. And eventually the right to property would be abolished to take everything they have. But you do this in America and it's like, oh my God, isn't it great that minorities are taking place in society? DS is God says, can the nest that a bird makes be seen as a meme? It can. It certainly can be seen as phenotypic. So that's one thing. And memes are phenotypic. But they're phenotypic for very special reasons that I explain in chapter 9. Now, the problem that this view will have is that I'm not sure the nest is an element that's being learned by observation. So the comparison to memes will be limited. Memes are transmitted from brain to brain in a way that if you raise a human without the English language, for example, they will never get to know the English language. They will not converge toward this on their own. Whereas if you take a bird that has never seen a nest in their life, most of the birds will probably be able to build a decent nest just out of their genetics. So the meme comparison suffers here, because if it was truly like memes, they would be basically necessitate observation. Lendald Guntram says, what is so terrible? Thousands of Ukrainians died during the offensive. Several times more were severely wounded. Totally pointless attempt. Huge waste of lives and resources. Well, I would love to know where you get these facts, because I would like to have a reliable estimate of how many Ukrainians are dying on any specific day, but I don't have this. Instead, what I have is the Kyiv Post, Twitter-approved Kyiv Post, and also Ukrainian-approved fake count. Massive My Son Hunter Bridge banner goes up in Dallas, Texas. The movie My Son Hunter online on 7th of September at mysonhunter.com. I've seen the trailer of this. They tried to make kind of a Hollywood style crime mafia parody movie with the life of Hunter Biden. I'm gonna watch it. I might watch it. I'll try to watch it. It seems pointless and it seems a thing of boomer, but I'll give it a try, see if it's funny. But it's gonna be cringe, bro. Like, okay, come back from it. We had the laptop of Hunter Biden like a year and a half ago. I've seen enough Hunter dicks in my life. I don't need a whole Hollywood production of Hunter dicks. Dino Lagovic says, we pay you to watch, JF, so we don't have to. Exactly. I'll watch it and I'll keep the timestamps, and so you can watch it while knowing, don't watch at 5:35. Don't watch at 1:10. Yes, I guess that this is my job, unfortunately. John Drake says, is this movie produced by Ben Shapiro? I don't know who's producing this. They've been memeing a lot about it. A lot of people came to me and talk to me about it. I don't know anything about the movie. Russian oil oligarch who criticized Ukraine war falls out of hospital window to his death. I've already covered this news earlier. The White House explains what is what is extremism.
And again, we see majority of Americans who disagree. And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
Wow. Wow. She just equated, if there's an opinion that you have and that only 49% of Americans have it, that's extreme. That's extremism. She has basically equated extremism with a non-majority. Wow. I think she has a lack of understanding of extremism, and that is kind of extreme. That is an extreme statement she's doing. That if you happen to believe something that only 49% of the population believes, you are an extremist, and then eventually if you can convince people and reach 51%, then you're no more an extremist. Absolutely ridiculous. German minister says, I will put Ukraine first, no matter what German voters think. Oh, I guess that there's a failure of democracy here.
But if I give the promise to people in Ukraine, we stand with you as long as you need us, then I want to deliver, no matter what my German voters think, but I want to deliver to the people of Ukraine.
My German voter. I have my German voter here. I don't give a shit, okay? Because he's not the one electing me, right? There is an absolute failure of the democratic system at even representing what people want, let alone, create a viable and good society. It's not even there. It fails at even satisfying the main reason that democracy was thought to be good, to represent the will of the people. She doesn't care about the will of the people. Probably because at this point in democracy, you win by convincing some billionaire that you should win. Illinois professor says going maskless indoors is a manifestation of racism and will boot non-compliant students. If you do not follow this requirement, you will be asked to leave. The syllabus that he handed to his student was stating, refusing to mask indoors is a manifestation of ableism and racism, an exercise of privilege, individual privilege that tells the most vulnerable that their health and the health of their loved ones does not matter. Thus, masks are required here. They are not optional. A message from Northern Illinois University physics professor Jared Adelman. It's time to leave the university. They are on a power trip. They want to impose stuff that is not even recommended anymore. I mean, this is not even... The CDC says don't do this. So at this point, who are you... What is your reference to conclude that we are endangering physics students around us, like 20 years old, 24 year old physics student? What is the risk? Noam Chomsky on why Putin invaded Ukraine.
Or the flourishing of a nation he loves and represents.
I have no particular insight into Putin's mind. I can only watch the actions over the last 20, 25 years, and read the statements. Took power about almost 25 years ago, has held it since as prime minister or president. His first task was to try to overcome the chaos and
My God, it's long to get there.
The United States had no interest in that. Clinton came along pretty the rise of opposed it other Russian.
Okay, fuck this. Noam Chomsky is gone. We can't even get to a point. Anti-white discrimination from the banks. Who would have ever thought? Bank of America announces zero down payment, zero closing cost mortgages for Black and Hispanic first-time home buyers resident in selected Charlotte, Dallas, Detroit, Los Angeles, and Miami neighborhoods will be offered the program first. This is, in one way or another, funded by those people who do pay the full price for their house and who do have to get a down payment and who do have to pay the zero closing cost. And it's going to lead to failure because you are ultimately with this, you are lowering the barrier of entry to people who don't have the job security to assure that they will be able to pay over 20 years. And so I suspect that there's a double play here by these banks. They are doing this for the image of, oh yeah, we're not racist, but I think ultimately they will probably repossess all these homes because they will ensure that the price is unpayable. And eventually after 10 years or 15 years of getting paid, eventually they're going to count on some economic event that will lead a lot of these homes to be taken back. John Drake says, oh yeah, massive defaults on the horizon. Yeah, that is the problem. The problem is that once you start messing with the private sectors, because the private sector is incentivized at the base level to make sure that they get their stuff paid back. Because if they don't get paid back, then there are lawyer fees to get the house. And then some money gets, you know, some money leaks here. And there's a risk. The house may not be worth as much as it as when it was bought. So there's too much risk. So the system is normally incentivized at putting reasonable barriers of entry that ensures that most loans will get paid back. But in the current system where you have inflationary pressures on the price of the house. So the house in the future very likely will be worth a lot. The more there are people packed in this country, the more they need a place to live. The house prices will keep going up and up and up forever. And on the other hand, you have governmental pressure that says, oh yeah, we will punish you as a bank if you don't have that many Black people with loans. So you have a double incentive for banks to do the wrong thing here and to get low-quality loans that they don't even care if it's not payable. They will get the house later through some other means when, the person cannot pay. Thomas says, and if they can pay, well then, they get the money they wanted, and that's fine. Thomas says, maybe it's still a better deal in the end than paying a rent. At least you're in a house. I mean, it's if you're the home buyer, certainly it's a good deal to buy a home. I would be careful because in the market, the incredible prices of homes is not justified in my view. But if you go for cheap houses, there are definitely opportunities on the market and you should jump on them if you can afford. Personally, since I've been living on a land and a house, life has been so much easier. I can take risks. I can be demonetized on YouTube. I don't give a shit. I can rebuild on the Odyssey with a smaller crowd. And I don't have to worry that every month I may not be able to pay that rent. And this, the amount of money that's leaking through rent is making life extremely risky. You have to live with the everyday pressure of, will I be stuck to go back, live with my mom because I'll be on the streets? having a house, even if it's a small house, is definitely the place you want to be. That is the main tip that I would give to young people. Anyone who is 20 year old on the currently watching the show, I would tell you, get a house. Find the shortest way to get a house. And you can have considerations of, oh, I want a nice house. Well, if you have lots of money and you're able to generate lots of profit and income, go for it. But if you can't, get a house and hopefully and ideally get a house without a loan. Find a shack that you can buy for the money that you have in your bank account. Thomas Howard says, hey Jeff, what's the translation from the French for mortgage? Take a loan from Bank America and guess who owns you? Yeah, it's a problem. The translation is hypothèque, which is why mortgage is kind of bizarre. It's one word that took me a while to integrate that it means hypothèque. Because hypothèque is like hypothesis in a way. It's a theoretical thing. But mortgage, in my French brain, I have the word mort, which means death. Like, your word for mortgage starts with the French word for death. Mortgage. And gage, gager in French means betting. So mortgage for me in my French brain means betting on death. Valet says mortgage, measurement of death. Well, for gage would be in French gager, and it would be like gambling. Gambling, that would be what it is in French. So I have gambling on death when I hear mortgage. Twitter introducing an edit button for paying subscribers. Yeah, but as long as Twitter is this speech control central entity, it's worth nothing. I'd be happy about this if it was Elon Musk or if we were opening Twitter to everyone, but it's a place for egos to be flattered and a place for blue check marks to be dominating over the platform. I don't give a shit that you've innovated a freaking edit button, which has been available at Gab since many years. German foreign minister says support for Ukraine will continue no matter what voters think. I've shown you the clip of this, and that is our last news item. The democracy is dysfunctional because the input to a political victory has become not so much the people, but the billionaires who are funding your campaign. And as such, politicians listen to who truly matters, and it's not the people. Because there's just too many zombies in society that will just vote for the centrist and the leftist candidate no matter what. So we have lost leverage on politicians. Quite. Sends a two-parter super chat constituting $21 for the first and $21 for the other. Thank you so much for the support. He says, two-parter. One, in a world where a man marries his fourth cousin and his kids marry their fourth cousins, and that's what his ancestor had been doing for hundreds of years, and that's what his descendants keep doing. Two, is it possible for a man in that situation to have a descendant born 100 years later that is more like him than his own kids? Maybe genetics he didn't pass on to his kids or grandkids get to his great-grandkids from some other family member who did pass them down to their grandkids. It's an interesting question, and the answer is, in principle, yes. Because what's the degree of similarity of your kid? It's 50%. So all it would take is that a line happens to pass above 50% of resemblance with you. And that is bound to happen. The only question is how many humans would you have to have in this society before one of them statistically resembles you more than your son? And I don't know exactly what the mathematics, I know what it looks like, but I don't know the final answer to give you. But here's the thinking I would do. So your son is 50% like you, but your wife was a little bit like you too. And so the 50% of your son that's not you is not 0% you. It's also a little bit like you. My guess is consider an exponential function of distance, and fourth cousin will have, 2 to 5% perfect genetic similarity with you, something in that range. So impose this on the, consider fourth cousins just fucking and producing millions of humans. And consider the chances that this 2 to 5% resemblance will happen to combine in a way that brings it above 2 to 5% resemblance. In fact, in a way that would eventually bring it to maybe 60, 70%. Well, the chances are the same as flipping a coin and getting ahead a certain number of times. What certain number of times? Something tells me it's going to be in the range of maybe 32,000. So flip a coin 32,000 times. No, not 32,000 times. My guess is that you might have one chance out of many tens of thousands, many hundreds of thousands, that you have an individual at 60, 70, 80%. Those are really back of the envelope calculation. I would have to enter the real numbers to do the real calculation. But roughly, if your society is formed by more than 100,000 individuals, I could expect that there will be one. And in fact, CNN had an article about this recently. It's called "The Doppelgangers Are Real," as Dino Legovich points out. Yes, they've talked exactly about this, that you have basically on Earth currently a guy who looks exactly like you, and he's basically very close to being your genetic twin. However, you may never know it, and you know, you may never find it, but that's what we call doppelgangers. It's when two people happen to be very similar in facial features and they are not technically related genetically. The fact that CNN has stated we all have a doppelganger, basically most people have a genetic copy of relatively, it's not 100%, it's not a full twin, but maybe 90% resemblance genetically. The fact that it's the case for most pairwise comparison of humans to the whole current human population tells me that you're probably going to reach the point you're talking about, the doppelganger descendant, very quick, very quick. You won't need 6 billion people. You may just need a couple tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands before you get an individual that passes the 50% barrier. Thomas Howard says, what is the big deal with the probability of finding a doppelganger? How many possible facial combinations are there? Certain groups of people all look the same anyway. Well, when they were talking about doppelgangers, they were talking about the genetic doppelganger. It was not just that your face kind of looks like him. It was that you have a serious genetic similarity with the person. All right, guys, that is it for tonight. Thank you so much for the questions. Those are inspiring questions. I had never thought of the doppelganger question across time. I could try roughly sketching the mathematics at play if I do find the time in the next few days, and maybe I'll bring you a more exact answer. Fanatical Socialist says, can you review the movie Palm Sacrifice? Well, you've sent me a super chat. I would tend toward having to review it. Oh my God, is that another one of these Bobby Fischer movies? When I was young, I was a big fan of Bobby Fischer movies. Said during the Cold War, American chess prodigy Bobby Fischer finds himself caught between two superpowers and his own struggles as he challenges the Soviet Empire with Tobey Maguire. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I don't know if I can review it because I don't know if there's interesting stuff to be said about it, but I'll watch it tonight and I'll keep you up to date about whether I find something to say. Thomas Howard says, Pawn Sacrifice is a mediocre movie, despite the fact I'm a big Bobby Fischer and chess fan. I had high hopes, but was disappointed. Well, yeah, I think chess has lost much of its interest to me, because we've created machines that play chess better than any humans ever will. And that's a big hit in the face.